father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Working on getting Chris Lowe. We're having a hard time getting a hold of him, but no big deal. Marcus Spears and Kendrick Perkins are going to bring their podcast here next Wednesday, Swaggle and Perk. You can get tickets at bit.ly/swagyouperk22, all lowercase. But we got a couple of tickets to give away right now. 713-780-3776. Let's give it to the fourth caller, 713-780-3776, who wants a couple of tickets right now to go see that podcast next week at the Rustic at 7 o'clock. There's free food. There is swag. There's that they'll be giving away. Fun with the guys. Perk from Beaumont. And they're coming here to Houston at the Rustic downtown. So if you want to go, 713-780-3776, caller number four. Astros win it yesterday. And in dramatic fashion, what with the walk-off, second straight walk-off for the Astros as Jeremy Peña homers the game before to win it. And then with two outs in the ninth, Yordan does it yesterday. And you know what? I got to give it up to we got ESPN on here in here, and I don't know how many times they've shown it. They actually did a piece on Yordan.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, you mean the best hitter in baseball?
Yeah.
Way to go, boys.
Thanks,
welcome in.
Thanks, ESPN.
Welcome to
the party. Though. Welcome to our party that we're having. It's a Yordan party. And it is a fun
and you're
party.
All invited.
Yeah. And the good thing that you're inviting everybody now. Congratulations that you're finally climbing on, ESPN, and getting this done. And this is just a fantastic run. You got Greinke going tonight against Luis Garcia. They've moved.
Will Greinke throw a pitch in a 60, under 70 miles an hour tonight?
Yes.
You think he'll throw his little
leafus? Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, he will.
Okay.
Yeah. He'll hump something up at about 67 or so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Luis Garcia tonight, Javier and Keller, and then Thursday, the afternoon game, the getaway game, Verlander against Bubic. So Verlander pushed all the way down. He was set to start. He was set to start. Wasn't he set to start yesterday? And they moved in. Odorizzi in his spot, and then they pushed him all the way back until Thursday. I like it.
Why?
Verlander walks to work every five, but
hey, ain't every
you got
five.
A 13.5 game lead. I want Verlander sharp in November.
Yeah.
And Verlander wore out the no-hitter, the 300 strikeout season. Mm-hmm. By the time the World Series got here, he was done.
He's had that issue.
Yeah.
He works a lot of innings over his, for his entire career. That's how he's been. So the last time he was on the mound was against the Mets, 2-0 win, the 29th. So that makes some sense. 30th, 31st. No, it's the 30. So you have the 30th, the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th. But now he's not supposed to pitch until... When is he going to pitch? The 9th?
Yeah, so he's going to pitch on Thursday, right? So, but here's the thing.
No, that's not the 9th.
It's the 7th. It sets him up perfectly because he'll pitch again July 13th. That's the night that Perk and Swaggo are going to have their event here. But he's going to be in Los Angeles against the Angels in Angel Stadium. He will pitch on the 13th, and then it'll set him up perfectly to pitch in the All-Star game.
Really?
Yeah. Because
I don't get the sense that
the All-Star game is July 19th.
But they wouldn't make decisions based on that.
No, they wouldn't, but it does work out nicely.
So every Astro going to L.A., every Astro that makes the All-Star, is that all over?
Yeah.
Is all the cheating trash can we want to avoid?
Altuve said he's going.
Okay, so if Altuve is going, everyone's going.
It should be. Well, who else is going? Yordan's going.
It's going to be, and it's funny, they've got a great record this year. But realistically, it's going to be Verlander. The three you know are Verlander, Yordan, and Altuve. You know those three are going to go.
Framber should go.
In the past, you have Bregman, who is a possibility. No. Yuli in the past, no. And Yuli made it last year and didn't go. Framber should go. The win-loss record, though, is not as great as it's
You know who else should go?
Who?
Stanek.
Yeah. Yeah. How many? Yeah, he's got plenty of appearances.
Oh, no. He's got plenty.
And we've seen Will Harris make all-star teams before.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Altuve was on those all-star teams, too. But we've seen Will Harris make an all-star team without having a bunch of saves.
Yeah.
So it's not like it doesn't happen.
No, Stanek.
But you have to be spectacular.
Stanek deserves to go. He doesn't have the strikeout numbers, and that's probably why he might be left off. But and would you take three pitchers from the Astros? Although the Astros, is there a team that deserves more?
It is kind of wild that Stanek, who can hump 100, his strikeout per nine is only 9.7. That's pretty, and his numbers never been with the Astros. It was 10.9 last year. It's 9.7 this year, which is his lowest. That's his lowest strikeout rate of his career, and yet it's also the best WHIP. It's also the best ERA. The best ERA plus. It's every number you want to look at. Only 14 hits in 27 innings. 14 walks to 29 strikeouts. The walks are a little higher than you want. And he does have one save. He's made 30 appearances. I mean, the ERA is 0.67. By the time the All-Star game rolls around, he will have probably 34 appearances, 35 appearances. And if he keeps pitching well, yeah, he's got a shot.
He's over.
No save, one save hurts him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's 0.67 ERA, 1.04 WHIP.
The WHIP would, you'd like for the WHIP to be below one.
His WAR is 1.2, which is third best on the team.
His home runs per nine right now is
fourth
0.3.
Best on the team. It's Verlander, Valdez, and Javier. The best, he's the best out of the bullpen. 29 strikeouts and 14 walks, just over 2-1. That's not great.
No,
that's not.
And that's
great.
Why his WHIP number's over one.
Yeah,
because of the
otherwise,
walk.
Yeah, otherwise he would.
I don't know. I think it's maybe you say he should be an all-star. I still would put him on the outside looking in. Probably, I'd have to look at all the pitchers. But Stanek deserves to be in that conversation. Framber deserves to be in that conversation. And that's it? Are we done?
Do the Astros, with their pitching, merit three pitcher all-stars?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Framber deserves to be there. Framber, Verlander. But see, here's the problem. It ain't going to be Luis Garcia. Javier is pitching like it, but he's not. It's not a robust enough stat set. It's not going to be Urquidy. It's probably not going to be Presley.
When was the last time, other than the Braves, three starters from a team go to the All-Star game?
Do you have the answer?
No. That would be wild if they decided, you know what, Javier, you deserve to go after what we've seen. 0.96 WHIP, a 2.58 earned run average, 27 strikeouts over two games. Christian Javier is 6-3 on the season, but he hasn't been starting. He hasn't started the whole season. 11 starts is all he's got so far. I think if they got a third guy, it would probably be Stanek. And you know it's Altuve and Yordan.
Yeah, they're going.
Yeah, they're going for sure. Let's get Gilbert in here quickly before we take a break. Gilbert wants to talk about his Astros. Hey, Gilbert.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
Good. What's going on, Gilbert?
Anyway, that was a big comeback for the Astros win anyway.
That was huge. Did you go to the game?
Do you know when they're going to honor Tal Smith tonight at the Astros game?
Do I know what?
Tal Smith will be inaugurated next month at the Astros game anyway.
Is he going to?
Hall of Fame. You know what day that be?
I don't know what day that is. No, if anybody knows what day Tal Smith,
Tal Smith, the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Do you know?
No, I'm asking.
He's looking it up.
I'm asking if anybody does know. Yeah.
So anyway, so we think about the Texans this year? Can they make it to the playoff or not?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yo,
yes,
they can. Don't listen to John.
Wait a minute. Do all teams play 17 games?
Yes.
Do all teams have an equal chance to go to the playoffs? Yes. They all play the games, and the Texans can actually go to the playoffs. Yes. If they win enough games.
Gilbert, he's telling you the Texans can from a statistic possibility based upon the rules of football. I am telling you that based upon the players on that team, Gilbert, that the Texans are not going to the playoffs, and they cannot go to the playoffs this year. Who do you think is right, Gilbert?
I think they'll make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You think they're going to make it to the playoffs?
Yes. Thank you, Gilbert.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And does Gilbert know stuff? Yes.
Gilbert does know stuff.
Does Gilbert know what year you're going to die? Yes.
He put me on 2027.
2027. Yes, he did.
Never forget that anyway.
I'll never forget that anyway. I'll never forget that anyway either. Yeah. Say, thank you, Gilbert.
Do you know when John's going to die, Gilbert?
Yeah.
When?
No. No, he doesn't. Gilbert, do not say anything. Do not say when John's going to die.
Yeah?
No. No, you don't know when I'm going to die, Gilbert.
I know he's going to die this year anyway.
What's that?
I know. I predict that Dick Van Dyke will pass away before the summer's over anyway.
Okay.
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke's going to die before the summer's over.
Oh, thank God. It's Dick Van Dyke. I thought it was me.
I thought he was saying you this year.
No.
I was about to, like, I don't know what I was going to do.
Oh, we can't go anyway. Dick Van Dyke and,
John Grondo.
And, let's see,
John had COVID. He might have long COVID.
Let's see, Dick Van Dyke and,
so Gilbert's telling us who's going to die this
year. Let's see, and that's about it anyway, Tony Bennett.
Wow.
Tony Bennett? Well, yeah. Tony Bennett's 100 years old.
Gilbert's calling a shot.
So is Dick Van Dyke. I mean,
that's why Gilbert's playing the hits.
Dick Van Dyke was a dad in a sitcom when it was black and white.
He's playing the favorites. As long as you're not going to say John Granato this year.
Yeah, not me, Gilbert, right? No,
but
thank you.
Gilbert said
no,
he does.
Not you, John. No, you're going to do a little longer anyway. No.
Thank you, Gilbert.
How much longer, Gilbert?
Thank you for no. Do not answer that question, Gilbert.
Wait,
I don't want to know.
Wait,
like Lance
till you have
knows.
An end date, like I do. It you, stays in your head.
You got 2027 for Lance, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, okay. Goodbye, Gilbert.
Gilbert. Gilbert.
Oh, he didn't.
He didn't say keep those egg rolls from.
No, he didn't say. He's
broke the streak. It was horrible to know that Gilbert had my expiration date right there at the top. And how about when he told you? Yeah.
Yep.
Don't say it, Gilbert, because once you hear it, you can't unhear it. Once you hear it, you can't unhear the date.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to hear the date. That's why I was on. No,
2027. Jeez, better live it up. Oh my God, he just hung up on you.
Yep.
Gilbert didn't hang up on us.
Gilbert did hang up on us. Gilbert said, "I'm done with you." All right, 713-780-3776. I got to talk right now about the Morley Law from MOR. LEYlaw.com. MorleyLaw.com. Listen, you need a lawyer. You don't have one on retainer. You're not rich like that, okay? I'm not rich like that. I don't have a lawyer on retainer. I ain't about that. I don't, you know what? I'm hoping I don't need a lawyer. I'm hoping that I don't get arrested. I'm hoping that I don't get sued civilly. I'm hoping that I don't have a deal with, have problems with an insurance company. I'm hoping I don't get into an accident. None of us want to have, okay, can't wait to get a lawyer so that I can have some legal problems. No, nobody wants that. But when you do, you need somebody that you can trust. You want somebody that you can, that's going to represent you. You want somebody with experience. You want somebody that's going to care about your case. You want all of those things. You want the Morley Law Firm. The Morley Law Firm is here for you. If you're looking for, and it doesn't matter what the issue is, the Morley Law Firm is going to have experience. The Morley Law Firm is going to take care of your problems. And if you're looking for that kind of help, listen, immigration problem, se habla español. These people are here and helping people every single day get out of their immigration issues. You have some kind of an issue. Whatever that issue is, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. MorleyLaw.com, MorleyLaw.com. Make the call, Morley Law. 713-839-9955. It's the Morley Law Firm.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You don't have as talented of interns as we do. Our intern, Kenny Van Doren, goes to the University of Missouri, and he also writes for Climbing Tales Hill.
You still there? You ain't got kicked out, have you?
No, you don't?
Yeah, maybe he didn't change shoes anymore.
What are you talking about? You
got kicked out.
No, I didn't get kicked out.
You got kicked out? You got fired?
I got a new job.
Tell us about how you got fired.
I didn't get fired.
What, did they walk you in and say, oh, listen, Kenny, we're not going to need you anymore?
You need to stop stealing stuff from John Granato.
That's right. We can't have plagiarists here, okay?
Yeah, you go back to doing your two-hour podcast where you predict every NFL game. It's the longest podcast in history.
Oh, no, I know. I was on.
You were the one who dragged it on forever.
It wasn't me, Kenny.
It was you.
It wasn't me. I was trying to get out of there.
I did it, too. They were asking me about.
Like all so did five Patrick guys. Creighton, I mean, too. It there felt like you had seven guys on the broadcast, and everyone had to pick every game.
So who do you write for now?
Sports Illustrated.
I don't know if you heard.
I remember I texted you about it because I needed a reference.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it actually worked?
Yeah. Huh. I don't think they didn't call you anything.
No.
No. So you are you're writing minor league ball for Sports Illustrated?
Major League 2.
Major League 2.
Yeah. Actually, today's the first day the site's supposed to launch.
What's the site?
SI/MLB/Astros.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you're their senior writer?
You cover the Astros for Sports Illustrated.
You're going to cover them for the Astros. Yeah.
So it's just for Sports Illustrated. It's not, because it used to be they would buy up all the different fan sites and then brand them under the same thing. But this is just their own?
So it says it'll say inside the Astros Fan Nation, but the URL will say si.com/MLB/Astros.
So you're at Missouri for journalism, and now you're journaling.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the word, but okay. No,
I just wanted to.
I know. So you were at the Forrest Whitley start last night?
Yep.
How did he go?
Well, the stats didn't look great.
Yeah, you got to look beyond the box score, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Two and two-thirds.
Okay.
Yeah. Six hits, five runs.
A senior writer's telling you to look beyond the box score.
All right. What did you see? This is his first start, by the way. It's his first time in AAA since 2019. Been since 2019 since he was at this level.
We're getting a lot of that lately. Mark Appel and now Forrest Whitley. So what did you see, Kenny?
Yeah, he had three rehab starts before, two with single A Fayetteville, one in the Florida Complex League. But other than that, you know, this, you know, a lot of people are worried, like, oh, he skipped double A. This is how rehab assignments go. You know, he's actually activated on the roster. It's no longer a rehab assignment.
He's 40 years old. He can skip double A.
24.
Okay.
How old is he now?
He's 24.
It seems like he's 40.
I know.
Yeah.
2016 first round pick. I think he's one of the first guys ever that's been a top five prospect in a system for half a decade. That's just something to think about. But no, the first inning was a little rough. You know, got out of it, only surrendered two runs. Next inning, two quick outs, double with two outs, and then he hit a batter on a curveball that no one really thought it hit the batter. It probably clipped his toe. Next pitch. Induced a ground ball to shortstop Alex Degote. And where do you think he went with the ball?
He went home?
No, he went to second. The runner beat him by four steps. And the one who was running to first, the catcher was just jogging. And by the time Franklin Bredo had the ball at first or at second, he could have made the throw to first, but everyone thought he was going to be out at second, the base runner. Bases loaded, next pitch, grand slam.
So wait a minute. How did the runner beat him by four steps to first?
So it's a ground ball. He had a good jump on it. There was a runner on second. They weren't holding the runner on first.
He must have been running then.
Yeah, he was running on contact with two outs. Beat Alex Degote to second.
Huh.
And so that was an easy play that could have gotten him out of the inning if he just went to first.
And then grand slam came up.
Grand slam. Next pitch.
Well, so what? So you can't think it was a good outing though.
No, and you know it's the first time he's faced AAA players since 2019. It's, you know. And there's going to be a lot more starts. It's not like this one start is going to dictate the rest of his future.
No. I mean, I saw the great Jake Odorizzi yesterday struggle against a Royals team. That's, you know,
great Jake.
Yeah, I mean, it's his first outing back. I mean, so you can expect some problems. I don't know that Jake's going to get another shot. I'm not sure where does Forrest Whitley fit in here?
Well, he's not fitting in this year. You know, you'd like to see Hunter Brown before Forrest Whitley in the majors. There's no spot in the rotation for Forrest Whitley.
There's no spot for Odorizzi, or there's no spot for McCullers either.
Yeah.
There's no spot.
And I don't think I was really like on the spot that Forrest Whitley could come up, get a spot start in September if all things go well. And I think it's kind of, you know, delayed. He got pushed back into July now that he's back in AAA. So I don't think you'll see him in the majors this year. I think that's pretty
What about trade bait? Because I know we couldn't trade him. Jeff Luhnow refused, and thank God he refused to trade Tucker. But how about what does Forrest Whitley bring?
I don't know how much trade value he has at the moment. The velocity looked good. He touched 96 on the fastball. He has like three different fastball, sinker, cutter, four seam. Six different pitches, though. You know, it's a great arsenal. He used all of it. But the one thing I thought was really interesting, he only pitches from the stretch. That's the only thing he's been doing recently, even with runners. Even with, like, the bases cleared, maybe just something they're working on. But the pitches look good. It's just hitters jumped on him.
This is his last chance with the Astros, meaning it's time to show that you're capable and you're worth the investment. You've already spent – it's already spent money for the Astros. So now you're just seeing, does he have the stuff where we continue on this path? Because he's 24 years old now. He'll be 25 whenever. And so at this point, if you're the Astros, you just want to see, is he still worth our time, or do we just need to move to someone else? Because he's gotten the look that a first rounder, you're going to give a first rounder every chance you can, and especially a pitcher who's got velocity and talent and size. But this has got to be it. I would assume they better see something with the Space Cowboys, because if not, it may be it's probably time just to move in a different direction. And to your question, John, there's no value for Forrest Whitley. What value do you have with a guy who has had an issue with substances, a guy who has had an issue with health, and a guy who has never proven that he could play consistently throughout an entire year, definitely not back-to-back years? There's no value for a player like that. You give him away, and then somebody else is going to see value in him as a reclamation project, but you have no leverage there. You just have to... I don't know what you'd trade him for. Somebody would probably take the talent. They'd probably trade for the talent.
Yeah.
But if the Astros can't get you right, you're probably not going to get right if you're a pitcher. That's the reality. If the Astros can't get you right, you probably are not going to get right, because they're as good at it as anyone.
Well, the Astros have put more into them. They've got more invested than anybody.
But that's already spent. That's equity spent at this point. It's been 6 years since he was drafted. What more do you want to do if you're the Astros?
Yeah.
And granted, one of them was a COVID year. You lose minor league COVID year. You had the suspension for a banned substance. But I don't know. He's got to do a whole lot more than he did yesterday. Even though, as you mentioned, Kenny, but getting out of an inning is part of Major League Baseball too. You know, you got to make smart decisions with the baseball. But six pitches, that's a lot of – I wonder if he'd be better off just figuring out his top three and just working around the plate instead of worrying about having so many pitches.
Yeah, it's three different fastballs. But the other thing I also did like was he generated 10 whiffs over 2 2/3.
Yeah, that's a lot.
J.P. France, who relieved him, was also one of the best starters in Sugarland at 13 over 5. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who's generating the most whiffs on this team, and Forrest Whitley at 10.
Mm-hmm. And the Astros do value that.
Yep. Where are you on the Astros needing another bat in the lineup?
I think, everyone wants another catcher, and I think that...
Another center fielder instead?
Center fielder? Yeah, I don't know who's on the market, though. Like, who are they going to go after? I do like the idea that you guys brought up earlier about someone's going to replace Michael Brantley. I don't think Brantley's in this lineup this time next year. I think, his time in Houston is going to be over by October, but I just don't know who's out there at the center field position right now.
Yeah, there's not a hell of a lot out there. Odubel Herrera...
That's also a Phillies.
I wouldn't mind them trading for Benintendi.
Yeah.
But Benintendi can't play center.
No, but Kyle Tucker in center. Mm-hmm. Brantley and Wright.
But do you want him there long term? And maybe it doesn't
hurt
matter.
Your defense, but.
Maybe it doesn't matter if he's a long term solution, because the expectation is, okay, by next year, Jake Myers is the center fielder. Maybe that would be the thoughts. But
if Benintendi takes Brantley's place.
And that's a player that you keep because of his age. He's a guy that you want to get a deal to, but it needs to be a reasonable deal. But he's a player who is not going to cost you an arm and a leg based on his overall, output. So I don't know. It will be interesting. I don't think I don't think the Astros, they don't strike me as a team. Well, they've never been a team that panics. So they're not going to make a panic move. So it has to be the right move that comes to them. And it's probably not going to be a star level player. It's just not, it's not going to be that. It's going to be someone like you may, like Benintendi is the kind of guy that I could see them, you know, taking a look at, but they probably want to keep strikeout totals low, you know, contact percentage high, things like that. The things they look for. That's why McCormick to me is, I could see McCormick as part of a trade in the future. You know, a guy who's got some pop, another team might covet some pop. He can't hit a fastball up in the zone. They figured him out. I mean, major league teams just attack him up in the zone, and he's going up there hacking. Like, yep. He's going to go up there hacking, and that's just not,
well, at least
that's
got
not
some
the
numbers.
Astros methodology when they look for guys in their lineup.
At least he's got, you know, some experience and numbers that you can actually look at. I don't know.
Anybody else that you like in the minors? How many games you been to?
Well, I actually do the board. Like, I do the broadcast.
Stop bragging,
the board
stuff. Please.
So
stop
I actually go to a lot
bragging.
Of games. It's not a humble brag. I'm just telling you, I've been to probably 50% of the home games this year.
Oh, another humble brag.
Okay.
Well, I go to Missouri and go to half the baseball games in minor leagues. Humble brag.
I do like J.P. France. I do think he's a pitcher of the future. The issue is 27 years old. You know, he's getting up there in age. But
Paredes' numbers are pretty good.
Yeah, and you watch some of the games. He strikes out two batters, loads the bases, then gets out of it.
I mean, that's his move.
That's just how he goes. He
has not a fan of that.
Oh. Sub-1 ERA, like 12 Ks per nine.
What about Jaehner?
Oh, yeah, it's actually Jaehner.
Jaehner?
You say it like a J, yeah. Jaehner Diaz. Yeah, he's been good. I think he has 4 home runs over his last 12 games. The power's there. Him and Emmanuel Valdez, 2 guys from Double-A that have been, you know, they've done well in Triple-A.
Are you keeping track of the lower level as well?
Yeah, I've seen, you know, catch up with a few of the guys down there. Logan Cerny in Single-A. He was the return for Garrett Stubbs. He won Astros Minor League Player of the Month. He's been doing pretty well. Strikeout numbers went down. He has a lot of power for a leadoff guy, a lot of speed as well.
All right, there is Kenny. Sports Illustrated Kenny, we call
That's
him
right.
now. Okay, I don't know if you heard. He ain't climbing no hills no more.
Yeah.
Okay. When is
was it a contentious breakup with you and the towel guys, or are you pretty much the only one left and now the site's shutting down?
A lot of people actually kind of left when I left. They kind of just.
How many people were there?
It was like 8 riders, maybe.
Wow.
8 riders?
7 or 8, yeah.
Really?
When I first like took over, it was like 2 or 3. A lot of people just started joining.
And so they look at you as like the cancer. You started the demise.
Or the leader's gone.
The demise of the website.
Or the leader's gone.
Kenny the cancer.
You cut off the head from the website, the body will follow. The old boxing axiom.
So, congratulations on your new gig, man.
Thank you.
Way to go. That's Kenny Van Dorn right here on ESPN 97. When is when's his induction, Tal Smith's induction into the
it's your
Hall
job
of Fame.
To find that out
Astros
for Gilbert.
Hall of Fame? Or?
Yeah, into the Astros Hall of Fame.
Is he not in Astros Hall of Fame already?
That's not. Yet Gilbert said he's being his induction's coming up, and he wants to know the date.
We prefer you August. Answer these questions.
It's in August.
In August, yeah.
Yeah.
Gilbert is right.
Yeah. When is it?
I don't know. Whatever the first home Saturday is.
You're the guy that covers the Astros.
I don't cover their promotions.
Whoa. Damn it. Damn it.
You thought you had an answer for Gilbert.
933 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Kenny Van Dorn right here. On the show. Right now, though, what about some patios, Lance?
Texas Custom Patios gives you what you need at your home, which is a great outdoor spot. I was with Stephen Schell at Booze Can just on Sunday. I was talking to him about some of the things he's doing. He just did this incredible. He sent me the design. He's in the middle of it now. This incredible major, major deal. It's like an infinity pool, and it's like this is the most tricked out thing I've ever seen him do. But that's what he's capable of doing. He has so many different workers for so many different things that you're going to have the best, you know, he gets gutters done for you. He gets drainage done for you. He can do the landscaping. When they take the time to do your outdoor living space, it is truly going to be a full service situation where you can get everything included, everything that you've ever wanted to make your outdoors the best that it could possibly be. And I'm promising you this right now. When you have something built by Texas Custom Patios, not only is it built to standards beyond your expectations, but it is truly going to give you dollar-for-dollar value in that home if you ever have to sell your home. The main thing is, though, it just makes the home more livable. It turns your house into a home, and it will be the spot where you always want to be outside and all your neighbors and friends want to come over and hang out at your place because there's so much there to keep you entertained. Make sure that you check out TexasCustomPatios.com. Look at the before and afters and tell me you don't see your home in there somewhere. They can make magic out of every single location you can imagine. TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So I saw a piece yesterday. What does the Pac-12 look for now to replace USC and UCLA? And you know, University of Houston was like front and center, prominent.
What piece was it?
Was in The Athletic.
Let's hear from Bruce Feldman. I'm curious because Bruce Feldman's a writer for The Athletic, as a matter of fact, one of the preeminent college football experts. Great dude. I love Bruce Feldman. And Bruce Feldman, you missed out on the show. We did it. Dell and I did it on Friday. I mean, it's massive, massive news. Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC was the biggest, but USC and UCLA is not far behind because what it means is it means a complete restructure of the Pac-12 is probably going to happen. And now you have to ask questions. What happens to the ACC? What happens to Notre Dame? What happens to the Big 12 and the Pac-12? Do they combine? Here's Bruce Feldman talking about the departures of USC and UCLA and what that's going to mean.
That is a good question. I mean, from what I had heard late last night was there, don't be that confident Oregon is going to the Big Ten ASAP, you know, immediately. Now, to me, you know, on the surface of this, when I first heard it, I was like, okay, you have the two LA schools. And then I was like, well, you have Washington and Oregon out there who are both also, you know, Oregon's Portland, and obviously Washington is Seattle. Those are big media markets. They're good in a lot of sports as well. And then you have travel partners for, you know, like kind of a West Coast footprint.
Yes.
But I'm not sure it's lining up that way. But again, Phil Knight's as big a heavy hitter as there is in global sports. Is he going to sit on the sidelines and let this school that he has built so much? And by the way, you know, he is in, you know, has invested so much in the NIL piece in the last year to make sure that Oregon is going to be a player. And, you know, I'm going to try to make a run at and help my beloved school make a run at a national title, you know, while I'm still alive. You know, but what happens to where do they land? I mean, do they stay in? There's going to be a much diminished Pac-12. There's no other way to look at it. The Pac-12 without USC and UCLA doesn't feel like the Pac-12 anymore.
Agreed. And does the Big 12 feel like the Big 12 without Texas and Oklahoma? I mean, both Big conferences. 12,
well, the schools are now, I mean, Houston's in a position where they have to sit tight. They just got in, so they can't really, I don't think they can play the role of, I don't even know what the legality is of trying to search out. I just know this, if you're a Big 12 team, you got to be thinking, no one wants to not have a seat at the table. So everyone in the Big 12 is going to be saying, what's next for me? And same question is going to be asked by the Pac-12, like Oregon's asking that question, as he mentioned, Washington. They tried to get into the Big 12 and they were, or Big 10, and they were denied. And so I think that, you know, I think that most likely what I think could happen is, from a geographical standpoint, some of the Big 12 goes with some of the Pac-12. I think that's, I think, you know, now the Pac-12 has been, they're pretty tight from a regional standpoint. They kind of stick together. So I'm not sure that everyone from the Big 12 makes it.
Not anymore. Not anymore. There's nobody sticking together anymore.
You might
be
right.
I think
yeah.
Oregon and Washington do break off. It was interesting. The thought was that Oklahoma would not be able to break away without Oklahoma State, that the state, the legislators wouldn't allow it to happen, and Oklahoma just said, watch this, and we're going to do it. It'll be interesting to see Oregon leave Oregon State by the wayside, Washington leave Washington State as well, but that's probably going to happen. What I saw was, hey, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, y'all better get a move on and get over to the Pac, to the Big 12 as soon as you can.
Utah, it's tricky because you do have to look at, you know, I wonder how much U of H's basketball team is a saving grace for them. Because I know that what's looked at is the idea of quote-unquote TV market, it's a little misleading because it's not about how big your market is. It's also about what your ratings, you know, how much do you draw, what percentage of it. But they really want to know how many seats can you sell, what's your attendance look like, and how many tickets do you sell. That's the big, big factor that these conferences look for. It's more than just market size. It's what percentage of the market can you command, and are you getting people through the turnstiles? And I think that's why it's always been important for University of Houston to support their teams. Maybe more important for University of Houston than many of the colleges that are out there now. It's so important for Houston to support their basketball and their football, the two revenue-generating sports, because those numbers are looked at by other conferences. And Houston's always been working uphill ever since, you know, they've been pushing a boulder up the hill ever since they didn't get into the Big 12 initially after the, you know, the Southwest Conference dissolved. Now they finally get to the Big 12, and it's like a race to get out and figure out the next big move.
I think let's just stop pussyfooting around and let's get to the big 48 school conference or Division I that we're going to get to eventually.
Well, Clemson is going – look, the ACC – so supposedly the SEC wants to now add more teams. Well, Clemson is a natural fit. It's a geographical fit. So all these teams that are
Clemson
and
Miami
fits,
are probably Florida State is a real possibility.
Florida State's a real possibility.
What do you
Florida
do
State
with what do you do with North Carolina? What do you do with Duke?
Well, you want to keep those because they're basketball schools.
No, if you're ACC, you want to keep them. But what if you're SEC?
Well, if you're Big Ten, you're going for them too.
Yeah, that's
I think Big Ten because they have Northwestern already.
I think
they
Duke's
have some
a
good
fit
schools.
There.
I think Duke is a fit there. I think North Carolina could be a fit in the in the SEC. But maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I know this. Iowa State could fit over there in the Big Ten if they wanted to keep going higher and higher. I don't know if they
are. I don't
are.
Know if Iowa
are
would
we going
to
have three major conferences?
I don't think Iowa would let them do it.
I think it could be three major conferences, too.
Yep.
It could be you take a certain amount of Pac-12. Man, this is just... Like, and it's all over greed. That's all this is.
It's up.
The only reason you break up the geographical rivalries and the geographical things is just over TV markets and who can get the most money. I mean, it's completely a greed play. College football opened up. To me, they opened the doors. To me, they opened the doors when it started to get outlandish with coaching salaries. That's when the door opened. And now, because we know there's always been payment behind the scenes to players, and I'm sure maybe some people in football would argue, no, it got really bad this year when this quarterback got that much money or something like that we don't even know about. But I truly believe if you really look at it, the greed has just completely corrupted college football to where it's not going to be anything like we saw. And it's not just NIL. I mean, it's no. Some of the way coaches have behaved in terms of leveraging universities into multiple contracts. It's the way universities have caved. It's the way universities have used buyouts to just poach smaller colleges' coaches. We've seen it at University of Houston forever. University of Houston got turned into a springboard school. And then all of a sudden, big power conferences realized, oh, wow, our schools are springboard schools too. Nobody's safe.
Nope, nobody's safe. All right, until it becomes one giant 48, 52, 56 team league.
You'll always have conferences, though. With the numbers they're going at, they could get to. I mean, you would think four. You would, but geographically, the Pac-12 and ACC can't. They can't play against each other.
What do you mean? Penn State's got to travel. Their women's basketball team has to travel to Los Angeles.
I know, but the ACC, you can't do that completely across the board.
Well, no, well, we'll see what's going to happen. All right, right now we're going to talk about HR&P. Those are my people over at HR&P are just great people. And what they do is awesome. What they do is they get you your payroll, and they get you your HR, and they get you your taxes, and they take care of your taxes for you. They take care of your Affordable Care Act. They just do it better. They just do. And if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, with your HR company, if they've made mistakes, if they're not doing all of your tax work and you're struggling every tax season, or you don't like the way that they're doing your tax work, or you don't like the way that the payroll is going, or they're forcing their benefits packages on you. That's not what HRMP does. HRMP says we do payroll, we do HR. We got experts in Affordable Care Act. We're going to take care of that for you. We're going to be a business partner with you. We're not going to just try to gouge you and get as much as we possibly can with those benefits packages. And that's what other payroll companies are doing. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, go with ours, because we are. 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
News of the Weird is brought to you by Simple Seeds. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. You see these kids, the gentle minions?
My son was one of them.
No, he wasn't.
Swear to God, snacks went in a suit. I'm like, got popcorn butter all over his suit that he's wearing. Like, some my kids come out. I'm taking them home from Minions, and Sebastian and his friend Ethan both are wearing suits. I'm like, what are you doing? They said, it's a thing. We all go dressed up. I'm like,
apparently they're causing problems, though. And it's now they're not letting anyone in a suit into the theater.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
no, kids. No, this is a thing. I saw videos of this. At first, I thought they didn't know what they were talking about. This is a real thing.
Yeah.
Where now I've seen other ones where they snuck in a bunch of bananas.
So look at these kids. They're all coming out of the school or whatever, and they're all wearing their suits. And this, I love being Gen Z. We have so much power. Because you're wearing suits to a movie?
Yeah. We have so much power.
Speaking of power, Lance, we got a couple of stories of power here.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to an Eagles concert?
Nope.
Well, there was one. It was apparently in London's Hyde Park. Huge fight. You know what song was on?
Yeah, Take It Easy.
Take It Easy.
I saw that story. It was great.
Take It Easy. You'd think that people could take it easy Take It Easy. A Ugandan prophet claims he was driving along the Entebbe Express Highway when his car was lifted up by Jesus to heaven. Do you wish that maybe your car would be lifted up by Jesus to heaven someday?
Wait, where? That guy's in a plane.
I know he's in a plane, but apparently his car was lifted up. I don't think he was. I don't know if he went along with it because he's in a plane now.
He's telling his wife. What happened to it? Jesus lifted the car up. You crashed again, didn't you? Jesus lifted it up to heaven. I'm not believing this. You crashed again.
Apparently, Adam Kinzinger is a Republican from Illinois. Mm-hmm. He says that Liz Cheney's primary challengers are a bunch of armpit farters. Do you think that they're armpit farters?
First of all, that's a great comment. Have you seen the video? It's a real thing. Have you seen the video of their debate?
No.
The candidates debate? Oh, my God. Google it immediately. Just put Wyoming gubernatorial debate, and they've spliced all of them together. These are lunatics. Armpit farters is not a bad... I've got something to use now.
The armpit farter. You're an armpit farter. Apparently, there's a call in New Zealand in law to tighten up the law that allows public pooing if no one is watching. Do you think... Well, is it public pooing if no one's watching? It's no longer public pooing.
It's the tree and the forest question.
Right.
But different.
If no one's watching while you poo, is it public pooing?
Well, is it public whenever it ends up in the public pool?
If it's in the streets, it's probably public, right? I would imagine.
Yeah.
If no one's watching.
If somebody has to wear a hazmat suit and be paid $40,000 a year to clean up after you,
yeah,
that's public pooling. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Delta Airlines was offering $10,000 to passengers willing to give up their seat on an overbooked flight. Would you give up your seat for $10,000?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I will fly in later.
I have
had an opportunity to give up my seat.
That's two round trips to Europe.
Yeah, I'm 100% doing that.
Why would you do that if you're Delta? Give up 10,000?
You ever? I've always had that idea of that I was going to go. I was going to intentionally book a flight that I thought might say, "Hey, we're offering anyone guests, so you can go on the United app. You can bid for, hey, I'm willing to be considered to bump."
Yeah.
And it says, how many miles will you take? And you can put however many miles you would take or what's your dollar amount that you would ask for. But I've seen it in person. I've seen it get to over $1,000.
Yeah.
That's
$1,000. $10,000.
Yeah, I saw it once on a flight to L.A. And because they're probably charging a person $1,800. So they said, yeah, I'll give you, we'll give you $1,000 to get someone to bump. And at that time, I had to do a TV hit. And I'm like, man, I would love to bump out of this thing for a G. Are you kidding me?
$10,000.
No, that was a flight overseas, though.
No, it was a domestic flight.
That was a domestic flight. That's insane.
How about that? All right, we're done. Vanessa and Gallant are up next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hope you all had a good day. We will talk to you again tomorrow, everybody.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.